We're thankful you're here today. We do have several visitors, and we are thankful you're here. We have a couple from Brady and also from Waxahachie, and we're just grateful every time that we have visitors, and particularly that you are with us here today. I know that many of you know the name Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra was a catcher for the New York Yankees many years ago. He was well known for his bards or his sayings. And one of his sayings was, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. His sayings didn't always make a lot of sense, but that was one of his sayings. There are many roads that we will travel in this life. Some are smooth. Some are rough. Some are straight. Some are crooked. Some will take us toward God. And some will take us far away from Him. Therefore, you must be careful to take the road that God has designed for you. Wise King Solomon also had some memorable sayings for us. One is found in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. There it comes, all right. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And then in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. You've probably heard about the several people who have fallen to their deaths at the Grand Canyon National Park this year. People went there for vacations and for photo ops. They wanted to take pictures of those magnificent scenes. But undoubtedly, they got too close and were swallowed up by the voluminous canyon. Their intentions were probably good, but their careless actions led to disaster. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13 and also in verse 14, "The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." Socrates long ago said, "Why is it that men know what is good but do what is bad?" And certainly we know that that is sin. We live in a marvelous time for the Bible being translated in all kinds of languages and all kinds of good translations. I have about four translations that I use interchangeably: the New American Standard of 1995, the New King James, English Standard Version, and the NIV. But one person said, no matter how many translations of the Bible come out, the people still sin the same way. How true that is. Although Solomon said there is nothing new under the sun, people who people who live according to the flesh find new ways in which to flaunt old sins. I'm sure you're familiar with the passage in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We are truly living in an upside down world where those things that are right according to the will of God are considered to be crazy or wrong according to the fleshly world. You know, there are several lists of sins in the New Testament. And none of these lists are exhaustive. But many of these sins, which at one time was condemned by society, are now deemed acceptable behavior. You might have seen where Franklin Graham, not long ago, openly referred to Mayor Pete Buttigieg's homosexuality as sin that he should repent of and cease committing. And that was quite a statement. He knew he was going to get a great deal of backlash from that, and he did. But listen to Paul's list in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's quite a list. And certainly there would be people in our world, in our society, that would say, well, you're very narrow-minded. And yet, the things that we say that are wrong are things that God has said are wrong, and we are merely repeating the teachings of God. While we may be quick to condemn the so-called bad sins, we are not so quick to recognize some of the little white sins, and especially when they're in our own lives. If I understand the teachings of the New Testament, and I think I do for at least the most part, I'm still learning, but it is sin, any sin, all sin, that separated us from God and made Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary essential. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Paul writes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Without the redeeming blood of our Lord and Savior, we would be separated from God for all eternity. Again, in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we received what we deserved, we would die spiritually. We would have no hope. But it is because of what Jesus has done for us that we do have hope. We do have the promise of eternal life. One person said that every judgment parable in the New Testament reveals that the punishment meted out was not for something bad the individual did, but something good he did not do. And we are familiar with Jesus' teaching about the final judgment recorded in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. Not going to read all of that, but you're familiar with it, I'm sure. Jesus told the sheep on his right hand that they would inherit the kingdom of God. And he praised them for giving him food and drink, welcoming him when he was a stranger, clothing him and visiting him. But they were certainly somewhat surprised when Jesus said they had done those good things for him. And Jesus replied that when they did those things to the least of Jesus' brothers, they did it to him. On the other hand, Jesus told the goats on his right that they were cursed and condemned to eternal fire. And why was that? Well, we're not told that they were people of bad character. They weren't charged with stealing or immorality, not believing in him as the Christ, or any other bad sin. In our view, wicked people do extremely bad things. But those goats were accused of not doing the good things that the sheep did. Therefore, we must conclude that Jesus' definition of wicked is people who have the opportunity to do good, but for whatever reason, do not do it. Our Lord's brother wrote these words: "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." James 4 and verse 17. So rightfully, I think that we can ask ourselves the question, are we the good shepherd's sheep? Are we following him? Are we listening to his voice? And certainly I hope and pray that all of us are. But we need to take the road that is leading to heaven. Again, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Our Lord never did say that it would be an easy life. In fact, he warned us that it would be a very difficult life. And it is. Since none of us, though, wants to take the bad road that is leading to hell, at every fork in the road, we need to take the good road leading to heaven. We looked earlier at the works of the flesh that Paul enumerated in Galatians chapter 5. But Paul gives us another and much better road to take. Again in that chapter, beginning in verse 16, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." I wonder, are we really growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Are we really growing in our love and our joy and our peace and so forth? And certainly we can know that we are of God when we are growing in these areas. And it is a growth that should continue all of our lives. It's not something that takes place when we first become Christians. It's not something that takes place in 10 years or 20 years. It takes a lifetime to keep growing in these fruit of the Spirit. Paul did not give us an exhaustive list of good works either, works of the Holy Spirit. But it's certainly a very challenging list. And I doubt that any of us has truly conquered these qualities of goodness. Even though we are imperfect beings, that is, we are sinners, God is willing to forgive us all our transgressions and challenges us to grow in his goodness and righteousness. We will never be perfect, but through Jesus Christ, we can be perfected. Listen again to what Paul said in Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning of verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Aren't you grateful? You should be grateful every day, every moment of every day of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. The great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made in giving his life for you and for me, so that we don't have to die that spiritual death, but that we can live with him and live with him forever in heaven. What a great, great blessing. At the fork of the road, God has chosen the way he wants you to go. Are you going his way or are you going God's way? There's a song that sometimes we sing. It says, tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Often when death has taken our loved ones, leaving our home so lone and so drear, then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Faithful till death, saith our loving master, short is our time to labor and wait. Then will our toiling seem to be nothing when we shall pass the heavenly gate. Soon we will see our dear loving Savior hear the last trumpet sound through the sky. Then we will meet those gone on before us. Then we shall know and understand why. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. I was talking to John Archer after class, and we're talking about some of the questions that we have that over the years, we've said, well, when we get to heaven, we're going to ask God about this or ask God about that. And we both concluded, no, we won't. There will be no need. There will be no worries about all of that. And everything that we have wondered about here and worried about here, all those things will be dissolved in eternity. The real question for you and me is not the difficulty of some passages that we might read in the Bible, but the difficulty in living our Christian life. And yet God has promised us the strength and the power to do just that. And all we have to do is rely on him. There may be some here this morning who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, if you've not been baptized into Jesus Christ so that your sins can be forgiven, we encourage you to do so today while you have the opportunity. If you need encouragement of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we would love to pray for you and help you in any way that we can. Won't you come while we stand and sing?